Alrighty, welcome back in, Omies. Happy Wednesday. I just want to share that I was looking for a sign. Not looking, I was calling in a sign, a manifestation symbol of a llama. And as we were setting up, I notice Bella has a little llama behind her. She just so happened to take one of her stuffed animals and put it on a shelf. She just moved into her home, so things are a little empty now. And she's like, I'm just going to throw this on the shelf for this episode. And it just so happens that it's a fucking llama.
Yeah. Perfect. So funny.
I love it. I need to send it in the Omi's Oasis because we said we would share our pictures of like the manifestations that we are calling in, like the little micro manifestations.
Yes.
But yeah, I just had to call that out.
I love that.
Anyway, welcome in. Welcome into the episode. Today, Bella and I are going to be diving into this fiery spring energy that's in the air. It's like very active right now, activating. And if you guys tuned into the episode we made at the beginning of the year when we were talking about, okay, like we're still in the winter season, we're feeling like we're still in that hibernation phase, going through the emotions, feeling all the feels.
Yeah.
Spring has fucking sprung, bitches.
Seedlings, time to pop out.
No, but really, I feel like everyone's like feeling this high vibe energy, and we're gonna talk about it. We both have been going through this like really deep transformation leading to deeper levels of alignment in our life.
Yeah.
So we're gonna dive into this conversation, and maybe you're feeling this too. Maybe you have started your path of like really getting into alignment. I did make a solo episode on this, so I think that was kind of touching on like the beginning phases of this energy hitting us.
Yeah.
But now it's like I feel like at a peak.
Yeah. Dude, I'm fucking feeling it. I feel like I'm so glad that I started this year in a different fashion than I usually do, which was really just trying to align with winter and kind of like sheltering, just like taking it easy and like being more sort of in a flow with that. And now with spring, it is different. I'm like, woo, it's like time to go. And the thing is, it's felt uncomfortable at times because it really has felt like that feeling of a little seed that's been like burrowed beneath the soil and is like, I want the sunlight. Like, I'm fucking ready to
get
go.
The fuck out of here.
Literally, it's like, I'm ready to fucking bloom. And it's like that space when you're like an inch beneath the surface and you can like see a little bit of light, but you're like still in the darkness and you're like still like spreading your roots, like literally. And then you're like ready to fucking break through, and then you see the light and you're like, oh, I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
And yeah, there's just like a discomfort of the transformation. And I definitely have seen this as a theme that I think a lot of people have been going through, shedding and release and like deaths and rebirths, and are just questioning themselves, their business, how they operate, how they express. And I think it's so divine because this is how we actually are more supported in our evolution, when we're aligned with the cosmic and, you know, seasonal energies around us. So I'm definitely fucking feeling it.
Yeah, it's like you go in flow with the current.
Yeah.
And the current is speeding up. I'm using that as an analogy, but I'm not saying that in like a pressure type of way. But I do feel like we're all being called to embody the state of being.
Yeah.
Whereas the winter, it was like, let's look at the shit that's coming up.
Mm.
And what was that big like astrological thing that was happening? I feel like at the beginning of the
year,
it was like
Pluto going into Aquarius.
Yeah,
it was like transformation, destruction, like it's coming.
Death, rebirth.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. I don't know what, I'm not like too tapped into astrology. I know that there was a full moon recently. I know that we are in spring now. So I feel like it really is time where that vision you hold and that state of being that you know you're capable of being in, like you're being called to really tap into that. And maybe we could talk about our own individual path of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And what the things are that help us. And again, like I said in my solo episode, every single person is different. What you believe about yourself will work is different. What actually works for you is different. So there's nuances here, but I think it does help to hear other people's path of like really snapping into alignment.
Yeah.
So drop us into yours.
Yeah. I feel like I totally really, I feel like exactly a month ago, so at the end of February, I started to, I was very divinely guided to go super deep inward. And that's when like my hypnotherapy journey started, like exactly a month ago. And that was
was a month ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Wait, that makes sense. It's almost April.
I know.
But that feels like it was last week.
I know. At time, it's weird. It's weird. But yeah, it was, I'm pretty sure the first session was like February 29th or something. It was literally a month ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy. But I feel like I was so divinely called into going super inward and doing healing work on my beliefs, patterns, subconscious, all the things. And I feel like that prepared me to see what the next level of embodiment was. Because then after that experience and after seeing such shifts in what I was addressing with hypnotherapy, which is mainly my relationship and my confidence, that then it was like, okay, we've evolved a little, we've grown a little, we're ready for a next level. And when you're in that in-between state, you can feel yourself like wanting more and let you like know that you're capable of more. So you're like, okay, my current practices and my current habits need to change a little bit to support this new version of me that's trying to come through. And it's uncomfortable. And sometimes,
bless you, watermelon. Watermelon.
Stop. It's not helping. Oh my God. It's like stuck.
Oh, does it burn?
No, I just, oh my God. Fuck, dude. You ruined it.
Okay. I didn't want to. I was helping you.
I know. It's okay. I'll just keep talking until I have to sneeze.
You were saying like habits, the habits that you know you can, yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like it just became super clear, and it wasn't super dramatic. It was just very clear and in my face. And this was what we talked about at the beginning of the year. We're literally like, when things come up, shadows come up, misalignments come up, they aren't these like dramatic, oh my God, I'm a failure. It's just like, you see it, you're feeling it. You're like, this isn't really working anymore. You still have like an emotional experience sometimes attached to it, but it's definitely less charged. At least this is what was the case with me. And I feel like it just became so apparent that I am ready for a new level of showing up, of service, of being in my relationship, of expression, of all the things that I do in my life. And so when you're like visually over here, but you want to be here, you got to like climb a little and shift and let some shit go and shed and like really start to take what you've integrated into the body and like bring it into form. So that, I think that journey of being called to hypnotherapy, doing that subconscious work, doing my work within my relationship, then really trickled out into my life overall and really with work and expression and creativity and all the stuff that I was like, okay, I'm ready for a next level and I need to figure out what to bring with me into this and what needs to be left behind and what kind of like discipline and practices I need to embrace to start to feel actually like I've hit that next level. And it's a very interesting kind of duality of like discomfort, but excitement. But when you're like in the middle of it, like a week ago, I think I was still quite in the middle of it. And, you know, you kind of, you know, I had this experience of like launching a program and it didn't really go exactly as I had planned. And I learned so much from that. But when you're in the middle of learning it, you're like, it's not that you're like, you haven't, embodied it yet.
Uncomfortable.
So you're just fucking uncomfortable. You're just like, this is like, okay, like, great. All right. Lessons. Got to figure this out. Got to feel this, whatever. And then finally you break out of that and you're like, okay, now I get it. Now I see what this is. Like, now I know what my next level of expression is, or now I know what an aligned idea feels like, whatever it is. And I'm just learning so much about like how to keep going and Yeah, basically I'm seeing how to not let the little tribulations trip me up as much, and that they're purely,
or, like, mean something about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they don't need to mean something or, like, deter me or get me off track. And things are just fitting in a lot more beautifully with, like, oh, I was led to this for that reason, and now I'm here because of this. And now I'm like, okay, I went through these little things so that I can embody this next level. So that's, like, the brief of at least what's been happening with me.
It's like those low chapters, or just, like, feeling off, not necessarily low. Like, they're just as divine as the highs.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Like, even I feel like a big revelation or shift that I've had is, yeah, not even labeling them as, like, oh, I'm, like, in a low, or I'm, like, in a rut. Like, yes, to label it and explain it to someone, I'd be like, I'm in a funk. But really, it's not, like, a bad thing, because it's almost like if you were to be describing how a garden works and, like, how a plant is to grow, you'd be like, at first it's gonna be like this, and then it actually like goes through, it has to, like, sprout its first arm, and it kind of, like, has to break the skin a little bit, and you would just be, like, describing the process, and you don't know how the plant feels about it. To us, we're like, yeah, that's just the process. That's how you bloom into a beautiful flower. But sometimes in the moment, you know, imagine the plant was like, I don't want to go through this part. I'm like, am I going to not be beautiful because I'm like, my arm hurts or whatever.
This is low vibe.
Yeah, this is low vibe. And you're like, no, it's not low vibe. You're just fucking, you're doing it. You're living. You're like being a human. Like, you are enlightening. Like, you are still doing it. And I feel like that's something that I'm seeing a lot more of now. And so to that end, not denying those parts of the journey and even labeling them as, like, oh, like, pain and suffering. It's like, no, you're like, that's just, it's just, like, is, it just is.
Yeah. I'm, like, thinking back on, I feel like these realizations that you're having are just the fucking key to having more compassion with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where things, like, really take a fucking turn for the better.
Yeah, for sure.
We talked about that in the last episode, but
what's it been like for you? I feel like you, what's it been like for you? You've gone through a shift. You're, like, fucking at it.
I feel like I literally feel like I'm on, like, ecstasy. Every day. But
you're like, I actually am on ecstasy every day. And
I had a little dip after Miami. I was just, like, feeling kind of like, ugh. And I, in that moment, was like, I'm being called to really fucking step into levels of embodiment that I don't think I've ever, like, truly fucking went all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like I'm there. Like, I'm at the point where, like, my practices are just, like, who I am.
Mm.
The things that I do each day that make me feel good are just a part of my day.
Totally.
And to get there, I had to, like, do the habit tracker. I had to, like, push myself to be consistent and, like, do the things that I know would make me feel good. I know you and I have been talking about this, which we can talk about after. But when I was feeling misaligned, you were describing it before. It's like, you know, you have all these, like, things that make you feel good, but you're just not doing them. I personally think that's where a lot of anxiety stems from, is when you have, like, that very clear visual of that state of being or that person that you know you really are deep down, and you're just, like, not showing up as that person, which sometimes there's, like, a very divine reason behind that, like, we're navigating the roots or we're in the dirt, and sometimes it's just, like, a lack of, like, discipline and devotion to the things, because you forget how powerful they are. Like, you get so distant from them that all of a sudden the correlation between that thing being so powerful and, like, the thing that's helping you stay in alignment, it, like, fizzles, it fades. And then you start doing it again and you're like, oh my god, like, this is the thing that helps me remember. And I think one of, like, the strongest forms of self-love is to be devoted to the things that tap you into a state of remembering, or, like, tap you into a a higher state of consciousness. And for me, it's doing the things like meditation and journaling and moving my body. I know I've been talking about it so much on this podcast, but, like, it has been transformational for me.
It's huge.
And let's it fucking, put a pin in that fucking one
curious.
Too.
Yeah, I have actually, I would love to like talk more about that after you continue. But yeah, because that piece is like massive. I think we forget it very easily because it just falls off the to-do list when you get busy.
Right. But it's pretty wild. Like, I've been very consistent with the things that make me feel good. And then I signed up for this program that Sarah and Tim are doing where we're all as a group shifting into like 4D consciousness and learning how to like every single day I'm doing this audio tool where I'm practicing. Like, it gets you tapped into heart coherence and you're practicing vibrating at that really high frequency. And there's certain like hertz and sound technologies that are used to help your body acclimate to that vibration. Wow. And every single day, like, I'm just tapping into gratitude. I'm tapping into like love, joy. And this sense of gratitude has been overwhelming my body in like the best way possible. Like, I'm going throughout my day, and I've been at this place before, but I'm like really now seeing the things that help me stay there, and I'm like really driven to continue to lean into them until my new state of being, just like that bar rises like we talked about in the last episode. Mm. Because I just feel so fucking good, like, doing this meditation every day and practicing tuning into those frequencies. Like, I can tell how easily I can just slide back in to not embodying that highest state of being that I know I can. And it just feels so good. Like, yeah. Why not do it? Because it feels so fucking good.
Yeah.
And even in moments, I'm noticing now that I'm like really tapped into this vibration, I'm noticing like I'm on a walk and Nala's pulling me and I didn't put her right collar on and she fucking dragged me down the street when a UPS car truck drove by, and I was just fuming inside. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I can either walk for 3 minutes attaching to all these stories of like anger in my head, or like, this is where I get to fucking put in the work of transmuting this energy. Mm. Like, there's a time and place for like, feelings are divine, honor the emotion.
Yeah.
But like, when you're in this state and you know you can transmute shit fast, you also have the powers to do that.
Totally.
Like, you also have the powers to feel a heavy emotion and to transmute it. So in that moment, I was like, okay, observe it, breathe it out, shake it out, fucking like walk a little faster, let it just like drip off your body. Mm. And then I tap back into my heart. I'm like practicing this coherence breathing of like slowing down my breath and bringing my awareness into my heart, feeling the gratitude again, and like turning myself back on. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I'm back. And like, it's this little practice where I'm just catching myself slip into these like almost like victim me mindsets of like, oh, like, why is this happening, or why me? And I'm like, nope, bring it back up. Yeah. Connect back to the heart, like, honor the feeling, honor the experience, but like, you have the power to shift your energy.
Yeah.
And I think leaning into all this power work of like understanding the technologies that live within our body, I'm like, I don't need to like sulk anymore. Right. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like in a chapter where I'm like not resonating with that right now.
Wow. That's really,
and that's just the season I'm in.
Yeah, that's really powerful to know the difference between when you're essentially choosing an unnecessary emotional experience in a way versus when it's time to like release it and express it and all the things, because you need both. But it's very easy to like almost misinterpret the idea of like feel your emotions and stuff to then in that case where it's like, no, you really don't need to be upset by like your dog pulling you. Like, it actually doesn't really have a service. Like, it's not really in service to you. And it's just like a micro way that we leak our energy. And then I feel like through that process, you're then giving the proper significance to when you do have an emotional experience that you really need to be like present with and let flow through you, and that you don't want to just like override and repress or like get rid of quickly. You actually want to be in it. Mm-hmm. And that's,
yes,
really huge.
I mean, to me, feeling your emotions, whether you're in it, in the state where you're honoring it, whether you're on the street and wanting to transmute something fast, to me, feeling your emotion properly is to not be in the story and to actually fucking feel it, like, yeah, in the body, like how you're always saying, like, drop into the body, be in the body. Like, that transformation comes even when we're in the lows, when we're in the fucking dirt. Like, if you can just feel and be in the body and like just even for a moment get out of the story and allow yourself to release it, and just accept it and like honor it.
Yeah.
You can expand that to big experiences or small experiences, and there are nuances, because then maybe there's some times where you just want to sulk in the story. You just want to fucking have a friend near that you can just be like, this is what I'm going through and it fucking sucks, and let me just be a victim for a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
But like, know when you're ready to fucking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That little mindset, I think, is so key. And I learned the first part, and now I'm like, okay, now I like really understand our powers, and I can now apply this into like the emotion aspect. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really powerful. Well, the other thing, like, that I, yeah, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, things with my relationship are like so good. Like, I'm doing this parasite cleanse, the one that you did.
Yeah.
When was that?
I did it
September.
In September. Yeah. People still tap into that episode. It's like, I think it's when people look up parasite cleanse on Spotify, sometimes it comes up, which is cool.
Yeah, it's because we still get the what's it called? The, oh my god, what is that word called?
Commission.
Something marketing.
Affiliate.
Affiliate marketing.
Yeah, because we have a code for the cleanse. Yeah, yeah. Which, yeah. If you, I don't know if you're gonna want to do like a debrief on it after, but the cleanse that Nikki is on is a really powerful one that you can do over the full moon, and we'll link it in the description, just because we have a code for the protocol. You can get, I think it's like 10% off of it, and it's really fucking powerful, and Nikki's in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, and I'm loving it. I'm having a really good experience, but I think that is because I stopped eating a lot of meat beforehand. But yeah, just like a quick summary, it's a 10-day parasite cleanse where you eat raw vegan and you take these special like herb pills.
Yeah.
2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 2 at night, and you do it for 10 days. So you take 60 pills total, and it's supposed to like cleanse out your colon, cleanse out the parasites.
Yep.
Apparently 95% of us have parasites.
Yeah.
They can lead to like anxiety, inflammation, a whole slew of things.
It's a great reset. Even if like you fully intend on going back to eating meat and all that, which is what my case was, and with Nikki as well, she doesn't really follow like a specific diet, but the whole point is like, it's a very powerful reset for your whole being. It feels fucking amazing afterwards. You're like, wow, okay, I'm back.
Yeah, it really is. I feel so good. I'm having so much fun experimenting with recipes. I was like on like raw vegan recipe, like real talk.
Yeah.
Saving recipes. And I want to like make it my own. Like, I can add meat in for Peter. If I'm wanting meat, I'll add meat in for me. And I'm loving making like the sauces.
Oh, dude, the sauces are the best. Like, those are so incredible. Good. Yeah.
But I didn't even make the ones in the recipe book. I'm just throwing random shit in a food processor and it's tasting amazing.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, cashew. Like, I know they have a cashew recipe, but we made like a cashew pesto.
Oh.
And we put it with the zoodles and it was so fucking good.
Oh my god, yum.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
But yeah, I feel like I'm cracked out and I can't tell if it's from like the energy work I'm doing, the creativity that I'm doing with the project I'm working on, the cleanse, the full moon, spring. It's just like all the perfect storm.
Yeah. I do think when you're tapped into your creativity and you have removed the space between idea and creation, it feels really good. Like, it, because
can you talk more about that?
Yeah.
Like, what you mean by that?
I mean, dude, I could talk about this for ages, because I really find that a theme of my life has been remembering and seeing how creativity is like real medicine. Like, it really cures us. And the reason is, it's not some like, oh my god, yeah, just like make art and paint. It's like, no, you as a fucking being, the life force that is keeping the lights on in you right now and that is making your body function, it is one and the same as creativity. And like, creativity is also the same thing as like sexual energy, the desire to reproduce, the desire to like live on and create things. Like, it all comes
The desire to reproduce. Is that why I've been off the fucking charts with wanting a baby?
I mean, potentially, yeah. Like, so first of all, with generators, because you have a defined sacral, for one, because the sacral has to do a lot with like sexual desire, there, that tends to be like generally more consistent and awake. And if you are then letting your sacral and your desire and your excitement actually make it to the end of the hose that it's like running through, you're gonna just feel heightened sense of that. So like, if you are, this is why I think if you're a creative being and you're holding that back, you're literally holding back your life force from everything. Like, you're going to feel less passion in your relationship. Like, you're going to, like, your sex drive is going to be down. Like, your drive for life is going to be down. Like, it's all the same. And it comes from the life force, like, one intelligence that created us. That is, you know, literally think about, like, the universe is continuously expanding and growing and, like, wants to make more fucking versions of consciousness. So
yeah,
it's the same thing as creativity. That is what creativity is, to create. It's like pushing your life force out of you.
Yeah.
And so that's where also a lot of artists, like I, something I did in my hypnotherapy journey was to address any shame I had around my sexuality and being like an extremely passionate person in that department. And I had been holding it back a little bit, which was holding back my creativity and my expression and my dance and like all the things. So I think when you are tapped in to your creative essence, whether you have a defined sacral or not, because everybody has a sacral, if yours is undefined, and I'm saying that within human design, if it's white, point is still like tapping into that and like accessing that energy is super liberating and like literally gives you more energy and fire and flow in your life. And I think that that's could potentially be also why maybe you're feeling so good is like all the other things, but also when you are reducing that distance between ideation and creation, because the distance gets built up when we're giving into resistance, we're overthinking it, or we're just like holding our stuff back, that distance gets bigger. And so then you have all this stuff and all this like fire within you, but it has nowhere to go. And then you get like the symptoms of shame or like disease or like feeling, you know, stuck or whatever. Pain. Or what?
Physical pain.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because another thing I'm noticing is that my lower back pain completely goes away when I'm like tapped into my creative process.
Dude.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Because that's like, what do they associate the lower back with? Like support and safety?
It's the root.
And yeah, the root. Yeah.
I just, it probably does align too, because when I'm creating is when I'm feeling safe in my body and all the things, which we are now on a journey of embodying that. We're the embodiment of that safety. And
yeah,
I'm trying to get out of the language of thinking there always has to be like a big up and down, because I think it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, we definitely have seasons in life, but like, I think I'm getting to a point where those winters become way more manageable because I'm just adding a different level of consciousness to it, kind of like how you just did when you were moving through that. So yeah, I want to talk more about this though. Like, if someone is stuck, they have a creative idea but they can't seem to like get it out, what would you ask them or tell them?
Yeah, I think one important question is, this is like what the, there's like a story that people will repeat about, like, if you go to a shaman and you tell them that you are like sick or unwell, they'll ask you like, when's the last time you danced? Like, when's the last time you listened to music and let yourself go? And I think sometimes with, if you have an idea or a vision and there's, you feel like something is blocking you from doing it, I think a big question to ask yourself is like, do you have shame around the idea? Do you feel like it's silly? Like, what story are you telling yourself about what it means to be creative or what it means to, you know, let something out? And it's super dependent on like what exactly it is and who the person is. But I do think part of what puts a knot on that creative flow is, it's kind of just when you're not, what, yeah, you are trying to solve it from the mind, and what needs to happen is you need to like let your energy rip. Like, you need to let it fucking rip. And so many people are constricting themselves because of rules or guidelines, or I'm supposed to do this, or this fucking TikTok strategy says I need to make videos this way for it to work. And you're like putting all these fucking restrictions on yourself.
You're just like in a fucking
yes,
ball,
you put yourself in a fucking straight jacket and it's like, yeah, yeah, no duh. Like, you're not going to be able to let your idea out because you're putting all of these restrictions on yourself. And that restriction could be in the form of a subconscious belief, or could be in the form of like sexual shame, right? Like, that was a thing for me, is I was like, you know, have throughout my life, and really this is what I did in hypnotherapy, is I didn't realize this until I went into the hypnotic state. And she was like asking me questions about my current beliefs around having such, I don't need to dance around it. It was literally questions of like, how do you feel about the fact that you have a high sex drive? And my subconscious was like, this is a nuisance. Like, this is annoying. This is a problem. Like, this is something you have to like deal with. It's like kind of, you know, problematic in many iterations. And I realized in that moment, I was like, I am holding back my creativity as a human being because I'm putting shame on the fact that I have this part of me. And who, I mean, a lot of women especially have so much conditioning around what it means to be like driven passionately as a creative person, whether it has to do with relationship, attraction, sex, all the things, pleasure. And we think that it's like wrong or bad or sinful. And so by releasing that shame, I realized it like unlocked this freedom to express. And it's not that like everything I express had a sexual root to it. It's just that like the energies are the same in our body. Like, we just label them and perceive them as like, oh, like sex means this and that and whatever. And you don't need to sexualize your creations. Like, it's not about that at all. It's about the energy of where it's coming from, which is the life force that wants to create and reproduce itself, both literally with like a partner and with like form and ideas and shit that you make in life. So yeah, I think if
that
you
concept is really mind blowing me.
Yeah, like that they're the same thing.
Like that it's those two, the way that you just described that, of like it's recreation, because
yes,
a lot of people miss the mark of understanding what creativity really is until they're kind of brought into this higher state of awareness around what it is, like how Rick Rubin talks about it, or how we talk about it. Like, people will be like, oh, being creative, like I'm using my logical mind to make a painting or whatever. It's like, no, you're literally channeling the divine into this specific realm and allowing it to be birthed into the 3D.
Yeah.
And to like hear you break it down in that way of like, it's the same as reproducing a fucking child, like that same type of passion and energy. It's just making so much sense to me.
It's like our basic
function.
Of course,
I've been like feeling so tapped into like all those different energies.
Yeah. It's literally our basic function as human beings, not just human beings, as like conscious creatures. It is a basic function to want to recreate in every sense of the word. So yeah, I think, you know, I think, again, it would really depend. Like, if you're listening and you have a very specific case of, you know, creative stuckness, like send it to us, because I would love to actually like be able to be more specific in my answer. But I do think generally a lot of it has to do with owning that life force and letting it run through you and removing like the shoulds and the rules and the formulas and all of that stuff, and just seeing it as a form of divinity. And yeah, to then like explore, you know, what it is to make it just for the sake of creating it, right? Like, that's a whole journey that I think a lot of creators have to go on, is like maybe just making stuff for yourself and not sharing it. Like, you know, just dance and don't take a video of it. Just like do it for yourself, or like grab painting supplies and just do it for you, so that you reconnect with that urge. And I do think like that initial urge and inspiration is going to have a pressure behind it to come out. And that is what, if you're stifling, is going to make you feel like stuck or sick or unwell or whatever. And that's why I think it's really important to let it flow and literally like let it rip.
Where do you think movement of the body comes in to this process?
I mean, I would love to know your take on this too, because I mean, for me, physical movement, because I'm a dancer, and it's so liberating for me to, I mean, when you move your body, you're really just, from a health perspective, it's a basic need that a lot of us stop doing because we get busy and whatever, or we just like get lazy or whatever the fuck happens that we just stop moving. But I think from a spiritual energetic perspective, I think it's just where like you turn the mind off a little bit and get to really be in the intelligence of the body and the soul. So I think it's so healthy and liberating for people because we spend so much time in the logic mind that when you can finally turn that off and you're almost like forced to pay attention to your body, whether that's because you're doing like a hard workout or you have to think about the dance moves and the song and whatever, you're going on a walk, so you're paying attention to the nature and the trail, that it drops us into a higher form of intelligence that is living within our physical and energetic body. And I think that's why it always unlocks a lot of flow for people. Like a lot of people, when you do a workout afterwards, you feel like inspired and you get ideas, or you get an idea while you're running or on the treadmill or lifting weights. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's because you're letting a higher form of intelligence actually take over instead of trying to solve everything at the mental level.
Also in the shower.
Yeah. Cause that's all. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. It's like, you're also, you're in like a physical, you know, sensation of you, like there's the extra sensory item of the water and like the, you're cleaning yourself and maybe you smell the soap and whatever. And it's just a very like present thing that almost, because it's like automatic and you don't have to think about it, lets the other form of intelligence come through. Like no one is fucking logically struggling to shower, like which soap, I mean, maybe, but like not really. You're like, you have your fucking shampoo and conditioner and you're gonna use it. Like you almost, you don't have to think about it. You're just in the shower doing automatic. It. Yeah, which is why I think that happens. Yeah.
Connecting to that intelligence within is just the fucking secret sauce to life. This is what I just made the post on. I'm learning more about the science of the heart and it's just so interesting. I'll share a little here. I just made an Instagram post and it connects to what you're saying, because like you're saying tapping into that higher intelligence. And I'm like, yeah, that's so crazy how we intuitively know to call it higher intelligence when that literally is what it is.
Yeah.
And essentially the heart has all these neurites on it and it has a highway to the brain. Like it has its own communication with the brain.
Wow.
And those neurites, they have discovered there's like over 40,000 of them, and essentially they're brain-like cells that exist on the heart, to the point where scientists have started calling the heart the little brain.
Wow.
And to really think about that for a moment, like your heart thinks, feels, remembers on its own. Your heart thinks on its own, apart from your mind.
Wow.
And there's compelling evidence, and I'm quoting this, that it's connected to an intelligence that doesn't exist in this time space.
Whoa.
Like, that is the science of fucking intuition.
Dude, that's...
I just got chills.
Same. It's wild because... Again, it's like we've, the saying of like, listen to your heart, tap into your heart. Like we know this, but we almost, it's like now the fucking science is catching up to what all of the great sages and wisdom texts and everything has been telling us forever, that it's like, no, there's like actually like, this is doing something. Like it really has this function. When you explain it like that, it makes so much sense. And I'm like connecting it to what I know about like the circuitry in human design, and like that there is a literal communicative pathway happening between our energy centers, and the heart being like one that truly like lives in its own organ that is so complex and intelligent. And it's like, it makes all of these little sayings so true of like, the heart wants what it wants, like let the heart speak, like it actually does those things. And I feel like those sayings and like these little pieces of wisdom have been coming from us feeling that and living that, and we didn't even realize that like that the heart actually has this way of functioning to it like a brain, and we're seeing that now. That's really, really
cool.
But
also there's indigenous tribes and cultures that teach babies like in the first few years of their life how to think with their heart. Like that is the initial training of teaching them how to think and where to get their guidance from. Isn't that so beautiful?
Wow.
But in Western civilization, when all the white settlers came and put in this new curriculum of learning and totally changed the way that we connect to our bodies, if we even do, like, we're taught to just use logical thinking and to use the mind and to be like fucking computers that are pushed through a system to work for some company that doesn't give a fuck about you. I mean, I'm not going to go down that alley, but
yeah,
the heart is so powerful and it's so beautiful to connect to like ancient wisdom or these indigenous cultures that are like teaching little kids how to tune into their intuition. Wow. Like how to trust it, how to listen to it. And it's like a few years of training them to connect to that space.
Wow.
So it's just so beautiful because when you start tuning in, and I think a lot of people are way more connected than they even realize. We all are so connected, but we dismiss it.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, can't do that. Not possible. Because we're so connected to up here and the logic that is literally just a complete book of the past. Like our brain is just all these programs, like a filing cabinet of like, this is how this works. This is what's possible. This is how love works. This is how marriage works. Right. This is how money works. And then we have this vision that our heart is calling us into. And we're going through the filing cabinet of our subconscious being like, nope, fucking ditch it. Can't do that one. Yeah. And we're like totally then putting ourselves on this path of constriction and safety. And that's where like another level of anxiety really starts to come in. And, when you start following the heart, it's like what Jenny was sharing in the Oasis workshop that we just had, where she was saying, like, there's a risk. Like, a risk is going to pop up. And you have to learn how to, like, spot the risk and lean in. Mm. Because with that heart guidance, there is going to be something scary that's connected to it.
Right.
And there's going to be a risk involved. But you got to take the leap. And then like she was teaching us, as you walk down that path, you gain more and more trust with that guidance because you realize how transformational your life becomes with following that and how magical life becomes that you're like, of course, here comes the vision. There's the risk. I mean, no, I'm going to take the risk because I know everything always works out.
Wow. Dude, it is like we are literally... We're remembering how we actually function. And I feel like the timing of this is perfect because I was just reading last night in the human design book that's written by the founder. He's explaining that in, I think it's the years like 1781, that we shifted from being 7-centered to 9-centered beings. That's talking about like the energy centers and how it basically was time to like, quote unquote, retire the mind from being the only like organ that runs things. And that now we are in this era of listening to and acting on and giving credit to the other forms of intelligence that live in the body. And this is like, basically what we're saying is, like the heart has its intelligence and has, it will speak to you. You will see visions from it. The spleen has intelligence from instincts, the sacral, the gut, like the rest of the body is, it's a holistic creature that is supposed to get input from all of the places, not just from here. And it's like the over-identification with the fucking mind is where we lost our way as humanity, and now where we're finding our way back is reigniting and giving credit to the other forms of intelligence that live within us. And it's like, that's what this is unlocking, is when you're like, actually, I can tap in and explore what this heart center has to say. I can tap in to what my solar plexus has to say, as energy center, what my spleen is telling me. Like these are, like the body is a holistic creature that cannot operate without all of its pieces. And yeah, I'm just having like a really profound moment of like how
I'm there with you
cool it is. And it makes so much sense when you really really think about it and picture it and look into it, and you're like, yes, like the mind was never meant to be the only one. It's a very powerful tool, like it is so fucking important, but it's been blown out of proportion in terms of its importance.
Mm-hmm. And it's connected to lower levels of consciousness, because when you're just believing, I think what's so powerful about children, let's say, learning how to connect with their heart, that when the mind is overactive, whereas in Western society, we're like fucking attaching to every thought and identifying with every story in the head, which is lower states of consciousness. When you're connecting to the heart, you're naturally sinking into a higher state of awareness, because when the mind comes in to wreak havoc and tell the false stories, you recognize it and you understand, oh, wait, I can connect to my heart here and actually feel in my body if this is like something I need to listen to. And you just have this intuitive sense of like, that's my ego versus that's my soul speaking.
Yes.
And with that lower state of consciousness, we suffer. Like, with, and this is why I found the power of now so powerful, because he talks about how so much of our suffering is connected to literally just identifying with every fucking story in the mind. And when you learn that you can observe it and you start detaching and you start connecting to your heart, this is where heart coherence comes in. Because what heart coherence is when you are listening, you're sending up those signals to the creative side of the brain, and then you start creating this frequency in your body because you're feeling so tapped in to like the guidance of your heart that you begin to vibrate at a different frequency. Your energy field shifts, the signal you send out to the divine matrix is stronger, and things actualize, like the things you desire, faster and like more in the way that you actually want them, as opposed to like an incoherent signal, is your heart like sending you that vision, sending you those signs, and you're up here in the mind, and that communication, you can imagine the highway between the heart and the mind is just like a one big traffic block.
Yes.
You got people turning around, you got cars going up, you got cars getting lost. It's like you want that highway straight.
Yes.
And like clear.
Dude, okay, I feel like I have a visual thing that's coming, that's to explain why I'm trying to like think about how someone could understand even further what we're getting at with like that there's these other forms of intelligence that live in the body and they are able to go from energy into form, and the way they do that is through the throat. And the throat is not just having to do with like voice, but our voice as a species is the way that we are able to create things. Like, think about the first way that I would be able to communicate to you, at least as we current, since we don't have telekinesis, so we haven't figured it out yet. The first way that
well,
I can...
Well, we do, but well, we just haven't used
right,
it
we haven't
yet.
Used it. For now...
I think we do. I
yes,
can,
there's...
That's another story after.
Basically, the way that the first stop of creating, of turning something from energy into form, is to speak it through the throat. And in the human design body graph, every single center leads to the throat. Like the saying, all roads lead to Rome. Every center connects to the throat either directly or through another channel. And so if you look at the throat.
Because it's like a center. Like if you do imagine Rome, like it's literally like the center and every.
Yes. Like, well, it's not. It's not that it's literally at the actual like.
Radius
center.
More north, but
yeah, yes, but exactly. All the channels and stuff that come off of the energy
like the
centers,
city center.
Yes, they connect to the throat. And the throat is the center of manifestation. It is the center that things take form. And for humans, like the throat is not just the governor of your voice, but it's also literally the center of manifestation, which means to turn something from energy into form. And it's not fucking by accident that all of the centers lead into there. So it's like if you have an intelligence coming and a wisdom coming from the heart, it is coming into here so that it can be created into something else. Like if you have, when you get inspiration and an idea, it channels into here to be created into form. If you have an emotional experience and it travels through to the throat to be expressed and explained and innovated, the spleen, the instinct, gets communicated out through the throat. It is like the symbolic and actual center that things are created. And every fucking center goes to it, which is literally to say, when you live in alignment and don't just live from up here, you awaken the intelligence of the body and let the other centers properly flow together to manifest from the intelligence of your heart, your spleen, your gut, your sacral, your desires, your fucking crown, inspiration, everything.
Whoa, okay. Was this what you were trying to explain to me before?
A little bit, yeah. It was because I was telling you about the throat and how, like, with the throat in and of itself, depending on if it's defined or undefined, that, like, dictates your voice and, like, your action taking tendencies. So yeah, it's related to that.
I'm also thinking, as you're talking about this, I've been diving really deep into Greg Braden's work.
Mm.
And he talks about the importance of words and language, which I brought up the other day to you, and how the words we speak are literally spells of how things manifest in the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just bringing this up because it's connecting to what you're saying too. Not only like expressing it allows for the manifestation, but it allows for like the interaction with the field, because your words carry a frequency,
mm-hmm.
whether they're just a like meaningless or meaningful, like they carry a frequency.
Yeah.
And it interacts with the field in a specific way. And I don't know too much more on that, but I just wanted to bring that up, that I'm connecting what I have learned with what you're saying. And damn, yeah.
Yeah.
Powerful.
It's wild. Like, I think it really, like, we're kind of unlocking a whole new arena of, because there's this, like, the typical way of thinking would be to say, everything that comes out of my mouth is just coming from my brain and it's a thought. And so therefore I need to think a lot in order to talk and be smart and have people know what I mean. And then you're like, actually, that's not what's going on. Like, you can literally be speaking from a different
your heart
place, your heart, your crown, channeling yes. a fucking different dimension. You can be speaking from your emotions. You can like you actually can use the voice to turn into form other energies of intelligence. Like, that's wild.
Well, isn't that what channeling is?
Yeah.
Consider?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's coming from here and it channels into here, and that's how you would express it out.
Sometimes I catch us in these conversations and I'm just thinking about like an alien observing us and being like, so cute. They're learning. Like, they're getting it. Like, they're over there, like, in these fucking spaceships that can travel like millions of light years literally. In a second, and we're like, you use your heart to guide your life. And
like, did you like, know okay. that your spleen has instincts that you should listen to? They're like, you guys are fucking in elementary school.
Yeah, no, literally. Something I'm learning in the course I'm in, and we're learning a lot about like ETs and the way that they see us and the reason why we're in this like installation where there's so much like conditioning and program to make us forget. I think I've mentioned this in other episodes, but Tim, the one of the leaders of the program, used to work in it sounds crazy when I talk about this. He used to literally work for the German government in a sector of the government that would connect with ETs, and he was responsible for connecting with ETs and using that communication to help support whatever the mission that he was on. And now he's taken that mission out into his own path, and he's helping people ascend using what he knows from the guidance of ETs, because they are so much more advanced than us. And they said one of the reasons that there's this installation on us where this specific species has us in like a lock of like the fear vibration and forgetting is because how much potential humans as a species have for evolution.
Wow.
And that was a moment for me to be like, whoa. I know you always hear like, you're so much powerful than you think you are, like, go do the thing, but like, we are so much more powerful than our minds can even conceptually understand. Like, what you think in your mind about the potentials of our power, times that by whatever number you want.
1 million.
1 million. Yeah, 1 million. So when you were saying before about, like, what were you saying? Telepathy or
telekinesis or whatever. Yeah, whatever one is the one that you can communicate just mind to mind with no words.
Yeah, I mean, talking about them from, like, a wider umbrella word would be, like, our psionic energies. That's what we learned in the program. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have, like, psionic energies, and you can tap into telepathy, and that's how a lot of aliens will communicate with each other. Like,
right.
They won't use words. They'll just talk to each other through energy.
We already do that, honestly. Like, I mean, I always think back to when I was on a retreat with, the first retreat I went on with Jenny. This was like a couple of years ago at this point, but I remember my first experience of like witnessing her like powers as like a medium effectively, and that we were doing a holotropic breathwork experience. It was very intense. It was like 45 minutes with Reiki at the end. And I remember, I will never fucking forget this. The literal split second before I was about to like release and cry, Jenny ran over to me and put her hand on my shoulder and knew that I was about to like release and start crying. And I remember being like so in awe of that ability that she just had. And it's like, it's already built in. Like, we know how to do these things. We just sort of have different names for them. Like, reading the room, like, that's, you're like reading energy and interpreting it through just like a fucking energy center of your body. And then understanding it, and then maybe you choose to like create it into form through words, but you're still receiving and sending information energetically. And like, how many times have we known that something is going on with the other person and we haven't told each other? Like, you just fucking know
all the time.
Like,
all the time.
And like the fact that I wake up intuitively, if Milan is like coming home really late, I wake up 5 minutes before he pulls into the driveway. Like, mm-hmm. What? Like, it's art. We already do these things. We just sort of either dismiss them as chance, or we don't consider them, you know, like true communication or intelligence or whatever.
I think we downplay them by bringing it up to the logical mind and trying to make sense of it.
Right.
When you remove all the magic of it when you're trying to make sense of it.
Right.
And I feel like that's what that person was getting at when they commented on my page, and they were like, science doesn't prove this, but like, still believe in all of it. Because I looked at his page and he was posting like spiritual content,
right?
It wasn't like he's like an anti and I think now I'm starting to see the truth of that statement. Like, we can talk about the science and all the theories and the conclusions we can draw from them to support the intuitive knowing we have.
Yeah.
But to put the science first and then say, oh, and then we'll make sense of it.
No,
it kind of it dilutes the magic of the unseen.
Yeah.
Because you can't really define consciousness.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, it will never be an accurate description. Even if you're observing it at some level, you have to distill it to be able to put it into, you know, description, science, a theory, a study. Like, there has to be some like distillation of it. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. That, I mean, I think this is what will continue to like, yeah, I guess it's, I don't, yeah, I feel like science will never, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if in our lifetime or after, if the idea of quote unquote science is able to like fully prove these things, but in a way it's like it's not ever meant to, like,
right?
I don't know if we're supposed to.
They can only get so close.
Yeah for sure.
But it is mind-blowing to learn. Like, I actually understand the double slit experiment now, and essentially it just proves that when you zoom in on like a subatomic level, you would think there would just be a bunch of atoms, when in reality, it's possibility. It's an atom before it turns into matter. It's a waveform. It's something that is almost, you can imagine, they showed a visual in a video I was watching of, like, if you were to drop a pebble in water and it has like those circles, it's either always collapsing in or always collapsing out. It's like possibilities.
Mm.
And then through observation, it collapses into an atom and forms matter. And to even just like see that and to know that we have those powers within us. It's fucking wild. I'm just really letting my mind play with the idea of we are so freaking powerful, and it helps me to remember all these other species that are existing out there in the universe that are already tapped into these technologies within, and to hear that us humans have such a high potential for evolution. Does that give you the same feeling that gives me?
What feeling exactly? Like, it like just it makes feels... you feel fucking like excited and like anything is possible. I don't know. I mean, it's just, for me, it just sparks a lot of like curiosity and excitement for continuing to explore that and like seeing what my own journey of trying to learn and like harness those tools in my life.
Yeah. Like even someone like Jenny, who's so tapped into her channel, she has just been on a journey of practicing connecting to her heart.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful.
Dude, it's wild. We blew our own minds in this. We're both just well. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in. We love you. We hope that this conversation was expansive for you in some way. We would love to hear your thoughts. If you have questions or anything, we love hearing from you guys. And we referenced the Oasis a couple times in this episode, but we do have an amazing community that you can join. The Omi's Oasis will be linked in our description.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.